A Jesuit community in Boscombe, Bournemouth, is celebrating an extraordinary milestone this month, a total of 450 years of service to the church by priests and brothers in the community. The parish of Corpus Christi had originally intended to mark the 50th anniversary of their parish priest, Father Dennis Blackledge, becoming a Jesuit, but expanded to include all of the anniversaries of the Jesuit priests and brothers in Bournemouth. Father Blackledge looked back on his and his confreres' years of service to the church.
I was straight out of high school. We had a lovely, lovely parish priest until I was about 16, who was a Benedictine, a beautiful man called Dom Aidan Trafford. He was actually a de Trafford from Trafford Park in Manchester, but lived so poorly and beautifully. And he was always brilliant with people. And I was the eldest of four children. And my dad was killed when I was only 11. He was killed, crushed to death at work. And I was the eldest of four children. Mum brought the four of us up. My little brother was born just a few weeks after Dad was killed. I had a place to go to Liverpool University to do classics, Greek and Latin and whatever. As I was at a Jesuit school at Catholic College in Preston in Lancashire in the northwest of England, I sort of said, well, I'll have to go and try and be a J because I felt the itch and I wanted to scratch it. And some people said, you shouldn't be leaving Mum. You're the youngest. She's got young kids and you're the eldest one and you should act more responsibly. And Mum just said, the door's there, Dennis. If you want to go and follow your dream, you go and follow your dream. If it doesn't work out, come back home. That's fine. And I'm still here, amazingly, 50 years on.
While you were developing the itch, as it were you encouraged by your mother to explore it?
Oh, yeah. Mum never got in the way. I mean, we weren't particularly religious in the sense of overtly, but we were at church every week and I used to serve Mass as a child, and we were regular Mass goers and whatever, and lived very near to the local parish church at St. Bede's at Clayton Green. And I was lucky. In the end, I ended up going to three universities because I did my philosophy at the Heathrop Pontifical Athenaeum in the old Heathrop College, which was 70 miles north of Oxford. And then I went to Oxford and did classics at Oxford University for 4 years. And then we moved Heathrop College for Philosophy and Theology into London University and became a constituent college of King's College and then our own, in our own right. And so I ended up doing my BD there. And then I was ordained at the parish in Preston, St. Wilfrid's, with a couple of other of my pals, Malcolm Rodrigues, and he's still ministering away. He's out in Guyana. He's Guyanese. And my other best priest pal, who's been out in the Far East, and he's currently in northern Thailand working on retreat work and refugees, David Townsend. And my first Mass was back home in my home parish where I was a kid at school, at primary school. And we did it outside and had a Smile God Loves You Mass because I used to do a lot of work with handicapped kids. And some of them were mentally handicapped or people with learning disabilities, as we now say. And so we couldn't fit them all in church. And there was a natural bowl at the school where I was a kid. And so we risked the weather. And I said, it's going to be fine. It rained in the morning. I said, it'll be fine. It'll be sunny. And it was. And so all the family and friends and a large number of disabled kids were all there in the wheelchairs. And so it was fantastic first Mass. And then I came out to Rome. And I had a wonderful fourth-year theology as a hospes, as a guest student, in the Gregorian University in Rome, in the Institute of Spirituality. So I know Rome reasonably well because I had a fantastic year there, living at the Bellarmino College in the Via del Seminario, up the road between San Ignacio and the Pantheon.
And you, who joined the order in a period of a great ferment in the church and within the order itself, can you talk about that?
Sure, it's been a fantastic time. I wouldn't have changed it for anything because I joined, as you say, in 61 before the Vatican Council was called by John the 23rd. So I've seen a few things. When I joined the Society of Jesus, there were 36,000 people in it. Now it's 19,000. But we're not worried about numbers particularly. We're worried about quality. And it doesn't worry me about numbers. Numbers never worry me in that sense. It's the quality that matters and the living for Jesus and for his people and giving ourselves in loving service. When I preached on Saturday, the parishioners here, a fantastic parish of Corpus Christi, Boscombe, Bournemouth, where I'm parish priest, the best I've ever been in. I've done quite a bit of pastoring in parishes. And our motto for the parish is Only Jesus. because the first weekend I arrived 5 years ago was the Feast of the Transfiguration. And it says as they came down the mountain, they saw only Jesus. So it seemed inappropriate. And I had a card done because I'm part of a large community here, because 4 years ago we built a new unit for as a care home and nursing home for our old brothers and priests. And we're celebrating not just myself, but seven others. One of my colleagues, David Gornall, who was many years in Zimbabwe, is celebrating the same day as myself, his Golden Jubilee. Three of our brothers who joined with us, one, James Harkis, was a wonderful man, and he worked for years and years in our provincial headquarters in London. Bill Jordan, another 50 years man, he has gone through thick and thin with the brothers, and he mainly cooking and behind the scenes. Brother Norman Smith, who was a very late vocation, he is a wing commander. He's 93 now, still gracious and beautiful, and all his marbles. And he was a wing commander and is one of the people to whom we owe our freedom in Britain, because he was a Battle of Britain pilot. So we've all of us seen loads of changes in our 50 years. We started at about 30 as in for the priesthood, and we're now six left. Some have died and some have left. And the brothers, there are three of them left, and out of about 24. And then in our community, we also have another chap, Derek Maitland, who's celebrating 60 years as a Jesuit. He spent most of his life in Guyana. And we have two guys who are doing 70 years, Patrick Purnell, who used to be known as the Rabbi, because his initials were Religious Advisor to the Bishops of the British Isles, RABBI. So, and Michael Flannery, who's also 70 years, still bright as a button in his late 80s, and he's worked in schools and on parishes. So we've all borne the heat and burden, but I found it a fabulous time going through Vatican II, through all the changes of that, and the sort of blowing the sort of inner freedom that has caused, and I've just enjoyed every minute, I must say.
Jesuit role models for you. And I'm thinking of the great Jesuit saints. How has this community through time and into eternity helped you in your life?
Well, of course, we're blessed with some of the English martyrs here. And I was privileged for 6 years to be superior and principal of Campion House College at Austerlitz in West London near Heathrow Airport. And that was a unique college in the British province, which used to bridge men, mainly in their 20s, but didn't have enough level of education, but they had the experience as human, bridge them to seminaries. And from my time there were about 60 people who were priests in various dioceses throughout Britain and in missionary and religious congregations. So Campion, obviously, is very close to my heart, and we used to take them every year on the Feast of Campion, the 1st of December, and I became in charge, principal and superior there, in 1981, which was the fourth centenary of Campion's death. So he's special to me. And of course, he was a convert as well, and he could have gone the whole hog. He could have been the Queen's minister, anything, and he chose Jesus instead. And we used to take them on the feast to the Tyburn tree, the gibbet where they used to string them up, which is now Marble Arch, and where there is a convent nearby of Perpetual Adorers. And we used to take them to the convent and to the site of Tyburn tree at Marble Arch with the traffic whizzing round every 1st of December. A living model, my favourite, has to be Pedro Arrupe. He continues to inspire me, you know, with the way he was in his life when I knew him and met him. I was blessed in 1970 for a few weeks, about 6 weeks before the canonization of the 40 martyrs of England and Wales. I worked for four weeks in our HQ in London, dawn to dusk and a bit more besides, and for a couple of weeks in our Jesuit cura headquarters in Rome, just around the corner from the Vatican, when Pedro was around one way or another and working with people in the HQ. And it was fantastic. And then living in Rome from 73 to 74, and just knowing the man. And my prized possession in my breviary is a little prayer card which he signed for me on the 27th of May 1974. And the fact that I can still remember that, and it says, "Please pray for me, remember me in your prayers, Pedro Arrupe, SJ." And then just the quality of his witness when he had this massive stroke and had to retire. And his little things, like he said, for me, Jesus is everything. You know, what you fall in love with will determine why you get up in the morning. These sort of little things, you know, and being men and women for others. And I've tried to model my life on Jesus and on Pedro Arrupe and on the quality of men like Campion. And would you believe it, the oldest man in the British province that we have, both in years as a Jesuit and also in years as a, he's 94, is Robert Carty, who was my headmaster at school at Preston Catholic College when I, from 11 to 18. So there you go.
Today and tomorrow, what does it and what will it mean to be a Jesuit?
To me, it means to be a sinner yet called by Jesus Christ. I think by the time I'm 68 and a half now, forget the half, but to me, what I have to offer now is compassion, vulnerability. To me, as a man of Eucharist, being taken, blessed, broken, and given almost daily, I've become what I celebrate. When the people bring up the gifts, the bishop says at your ordination, receive the gifts from the people of God, and then more or less saying, imitate what you celebrate and become Jesus, become the mystery of the Lord's cross. And to me, a man of ordained priesthood and religious life is a man with a pierced heart who has room for other people and who's compassionate and welcoming. So that's the way I try to live my life. To me, Jesus is everything, and I try to see Jesus in other people. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. But I try and live each day and celebrate each Eucharist as though it's the first time, knowing that one day it'll be the last.
Thank you very much for your time, Father, and congratulations.